Yeah, I like to I like to throw a couple out there. I like to do the Andy Dick every now and then. Throw it out there. I'm hoping one day to do some sort of crank call or something like that where I call his agent and fire him. It's been a couple years. I haven't had some work.
The following podcast features topics discussed by geeks or under the supervision of nerds. Accordingly, Geek Life and its producers must insist that no one attempt to recreate or reenact any of the topics or bad impressions performed on this show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Life HQ. I am your host today on this very special episode, Justin with an I. Justin with an E and Matt are both off doing something else. They didn't tell me. I don't know, so I'm just taking over. But I have not come alone. I have invited some very special guests. So we have with us today Mr. Resident Daryl from the Loot Bros podcast. The Loot, I'm already messing up. The Loot Bros comic cast and the new, you said Sounds Heavy podcast?
Sounds Heavy podcast. That's right. What's up, Justin?
Nice. And we have Josh Adams, who is here also from the Loot Bros comic cast.
Hey, guys.
And you do have another project that I want to talk about, too. Why don't you tell us the name of that as well?
Yeah, it's a new podcast. I think I'm four episodes in, maybe five. I got another episode coming out, hopefully, this weekend or early next week called The Fringes. It is a horror. It's going to be a horror anthology. Some of the episodes will be self-contained stories. Some of them will be stories that take several episodes to tell. But it's a very visceral horror. So if you're into the dark, creepy stuff, I will disturb you and hopefully mess up your sleep patterns.
Spoilers. It's really good.
And you said it's a lot of original stuff too, huh?
Yeah, it's all stuff that I've written and I'm just adapting it.
That's really cool. And last but not least is one of my friends, Mr. William Thomas Boyles, who will be joining us. This is his first ever appearance on a podcast. So I want to welcome Tom.
Thank you. I'm actually really happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad that you could come. You're an expert on many things, a lot of them being G.I. Joe and Star Wars. So I think you're going to bring a really good perspective to this because we are definitely going to be talking about some geeky stuff today.
All right.
Got to pop that podcast cherry.
Yeah, we did. One of the things that we always do on the show is that we try to get into impressions and things like that. So my first question for you guys is, do you do any impressions?
Few.
I do a bad opera singer.
Well, I know we used to say you did a high-pitched Eric from the Howard Stern show back in the day. Oh, did we never tell you that? I'm so
sorry. No, you didn't.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just messing with you. So
I do a good Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Do the Arnold.
Who's your daddy?
I'm coming. Everywhere I go, I'm coming. I'm coming in the gym. I'm coming at home.
It's funny you should do that because Ari Spears in one of his stand-up talks about, he does the impersonation of Arnold Schwarzenegger. He talked about how he was pumping gas one time and Arnold was down there, and he did this Arnold, well, you're like, I can't do it, but the noise. And
what are you doing?
Arnold looked over, and he's just like, yeah, man, that was his call. He was responding to the meeting call.
Listen to me, William. If it jiggles, it's fat.
Yeah, I like to throw a couple out there. I like to do the Andy Dick every now and then. Throw it out there. I'm hoping one day to do some sort of crank call or something like that where I call his agent and fire him. It's been a couple years. I haven't had some work.
I think the best I could do is we were in prison in Hanoi and the granddaddy had to wash.
And I already know where you're going.
He wasn't gonna let them have it, and so he stuck it in the one place he could, up his ass. So for 10 long years, he shot this thing up his ass and died of dysentery, and that's the best I could do, man.
I got dysentery. I love it. You gotta throw out the Christopher Walken.
So. It sounded like Christopher Walken with a touch of the Downs.
Scoot, scoot. Yeah. Closer, children. You in the back. Don't make me tell you again.
Good night, moon. Yeah.
Some of his best lines were in The Rundown.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you understand the concept of the Tooth Fairy?
Yeah. He's got my tooth.
Have you guys ever seen Country Bears? The Country Bears movie? Yeah. So Christopher Walken is over the top in that film. If you've never seen it, it is a must. And I know you're thinking I'm crazy right now, but if you watch this movie, you have these anthropomorphic bears that look like they're going to bite someone at any time. And it's just, it's crazy Christopher Walken performance. I highly recommend it.
See, what we need to do is take that movie and splice in all the scenes from The Wicker Man when Nick Cage is in the bear suit.
Oh my God. Is he going to do like this monologue about bees?
Not the bees! Killing me won't bring back your honey!
You actually see him doing something bitches. Like really racist about bees as a bear. Just talking about, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like, I would think sexist, you know, something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Me and my brother were on a stream playing Resident Evil 8 the other day, doing Nicolas Cage quotes. I want to take his face off.
I could eat a peach all day.
I could eat a peach for hours.
Yeah. Then you forget and you accidentally quote John Travolta and you feel dirty. You're like, oh, that was Broken Arrow. What am I thinking?
Ain't it cool?
Yeah. Was that from Punisher?
No, that was from Face Off.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's
it. What's weird about that is if you think about it, if you're quoting John Travolta, you're actually quoting Nicolas Cage. He just has a different face.
His Inception. He's unbroken me.
Yep. Yep.
Man, hold on. The top is still spinning. So we're good.
You guys have heard about the Mandela effect, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's this theory out there, and I've mentioned this before, but there's this theory that in a different dimension, all of the Nicolas Cage movies were played by Keanu Reeves, and all of the Keanu Reeves movies were played by Nicolas Cage.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. That's mind-blowing, huh? Because you could fit them almost in every part. I'm thinking maybe there's a few that don't fit, but pretty much you're like, yeah, I can see that.
I know Kung Fu.
Exactly. And it sounds just like him. Show me.
Yeah, he's done so much work. You probably could. That's actually really creepy.
I argue that Johnny Mnemonic would be a better film. And let's see.
What was that weird ambulance film that Nicolas Cage did?
Bringing Out the Dead.
Oh, that was a great one.
Drive Angry would still suck.
Yeah, it's not some of his best work, and neither was the second Ghost Rider film, but
or the first.
Yeah, well, you know what? The first is all right. It's something fun to look at, and Ava Mendez is gorgeous in that film, but it's not like I like Donald Logan. I'm like, weren't you killed in Blade?
Yeah, man, you brought up the Punisher. I watched the Tom Jane Punisher not too long ago because I picked it up at Second and Charles. On Blu-ray.
It's a classic.
Man, I don't think John Travolta knew he was in a movie, man.
Yeah.
I think he was just being himself.
It's like, look who's talking now, but one guy is the Punisher.
He just stumbled onto the set and they didn't know how to make him leave.
Oh, I guess we got to pay him now. Yeah.
It's like the Simpsons episode where Stan Lee was in the comic shop and just wouldn't leave.
He won't leave. I did it once. I really did.
What do we do?
I love this. Yeah. We always go into like these Simpsons moments and man. Yeah. You've never seen Nicolas Cage on the Simpsons yet. Have we?
Wait, his voice or Nicolas Cage?
Like, I mean him, you know, like him as like being portrayed.
Ever been on for a voice role or not.
I got to check this now.
It's definitely done his picture before and made fun of him lots of times.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Let's see.
We got to let the Google answer that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Siri.
Dude, it'd be awesome if Siri would start quoting Nick Cage for me. Or if Nick Cage was my Siri, that would be.
Dude, yeah, it'd be awesome money. To have him doing my GPS.
Oh, they said they almost had him play Frank Grimes.
Oh.
No, but they did have Michael Caine.
Yeah. Well, no, speaking of the GPS, we have a friend. The voice thing is gone, but on her, I think it was called Waze.
Oh, yeah. Car,
she had Mr. T as the voice.
Yeah, you can do Cookie Monster. I like the boy band option. It sings to you.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's like, at the next light, turn left.
I had Kit from Knight Rider on mine.
Sorry.
Mine was a Kit from Knight Rider. He's like, okay, Michael, turn left. And I was like, my name's not Michael. That was pretty fun for a while. But then he's like, if you're not going to listen to me, just turn me off. And it's like, okay. Okay, Mr. Feeney. Oh my!
It's like my wife says the same. So
it's like Ben Stein was on there.
Oh no!
Turn left at the line. Clear.
You would intentionally try to go to Bueller Street and then just drive in a circle.
Bueller.
My wife wants that.
Jimmy from South Park.
Oh, turn right.
Turn right, Jimmy.
That'd be pretty slick. Yeah. But I wanted to segue here and ask Daryl about that Sounds Heavy podcast. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
All right. So Sounds Heavy podcast, we're like 7 or 8 episodes deep. I'm a bit of a podcast addict. I really like to start different podcasts. And unfortunately, you know, Josh over here, my co-host for the Comic Cast, we haven't been able to get together in the past several weeks. And it's kind of like a supplemental show for our band. We've been kicking around this idea of Sounds Heavy. And basically, it was just going to be like a little documentary, kind of encompassing our band's journey over the past 15 years. Yeah. And like, we're going to just kind of do like commentary on each track that we write for this upcoming album. Well,
that's like liner notes then, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy because we've been together for so long. And like the entire landscape of music has changed since we started. We started in 06. We ran hard till about 2012, 2013. And we all had a bunch of kids. So we stopped writing and stopped playing shows and stuff until the end of 2019. We put out a song and we put out a couple songs 2020. We're trying to wrap our album up now. And we were just like, man, it'd be really awesome to kind of tell our band story because now our social media following has changed. We've got all these new listeners. The way you get your music out is so different now. Now there's no gatekeepers. You can put it on Spotify yourself, you know, and Apple Music and all that crap. Really? So, yeah, it's crazy. Like, it used to be the only way to get your stuff mass distributed that way was to have some sort of label support, you know, and now it's just like, oh, you know, for a small fee, I can do this myself. And so we do all of our recording ourselves, all of our mixing, mastering, everything. And so, you know, Josh over here, he did our art for our last video. And so he's done our logos and stuff, and it's been really cool. And so we wanted to tell this story. And so, one of my bandmates and I worked together. So we're like, you know what we could do, because time has really been strained these days. I was like, I'll put a podcast set up in my office. We'll sit down and kind of talk about our stuff. So we kind of did a few shows. And then we lined up a few interviews. You know, some bands were like, hey, would you mind like talking to us about our story? And then now we've got artists and bands going, hey, would you review our music? Would you react to our album and all this stuff? And so the Sounds Heavy podcast started as something very like, it wasn't going to be a big thing. It was just going to be like, let's document our journey as a band until this album's done. And then we'll let it rest. And then now it's turned into this whole thing where it's, you know, it's a heavy music podcast. So, and we've interviewed our drummer who he tours with a band called Sire, and they're a Irish folk band.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think I've actually heard of them. My wife loves Irish stuff.
Well, they tour all over the US. They play all these giant festivals and stuff, and he's their drummer. And if you listen to the albums, the music, like the drum tracks are so, so good. And if you took all of the, like the fiddle and the Irish aspect of the music, the acoustic guitars, if you took all that off and then put some heavy distorted guitars and some screaming, they would be metal songs. So we had him on and we talked about their upcoming album. They're actually in the studio today, mixing and mastering theirs. And so it's been cool, man. It's nice to get together with like-minded musicians and kind of talk shop. And it's a little different because we usually do nerdy, geeky podcast stuff, you know, video games, comic books, horror stuff. And it was kind of like a change of pace to kind of talk about a different creative avenue. So
absolutely, man. Getting to scratch that different itch. You know, I go crazy whenever I get a chance to talk about music because the guys, Matt and Justin, they listen to different stuff. Justin listens to country. So it's like we're not even in the same hemisphere when it comes to music usually. Yeah. So and I start talking to him like, oh, I'm really into like this group or something. He's like, I've never heard of them. You know, so it's I totally understand that. Because most of the time on this show, they're like, what are you talking about, Justin? So I get it.
So, yep, that's what we do. And it's one. Sounds Heavy Podcast. We put it on YouTube. We got it on all of the major podcast platforms. It's pretty tight. There's not a ton of episodes on there, but we've got some stuff we're going to crank out soon. And yeah, man, we're excited about it.
That's so cool. Yeah. And I mean, of course, you had mentioned Resident Evil 8, and you are known as Resident Daryl. You actually came on my podcast about Resident Evil. So how are you liking Resident Evil 8 right now?
Okay, so I have completed my first playthrough.
No kidding.
Yeah. So
did you sleep?
No, I kind of no-lifed it. It was great. I actually, my wife was a real support, real trooper. What she did was she took the kids to karate a couple days early in the week so that I could have the weekend, you know, Friday and Saturday to just straight play Resident Evil. And I did. So I picked it up. I played it a little bit on Friday, got up early Saturday. My brother and I, he streams on Twitch under the moniker Gagum. It's Games.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Games awesome. And Gains Media. And so he was playing on PC. I was playing on PS5 and we just got in a Discord call and we just, you know, just kind of trucked through the game, just talking to each other and playing. And it was awesome on so many levels. It was so cool to have that because my brother and I used to play the Resident Evil franchise very similar to that when we were kids. And it's an amazing game. It is so good. It is probably one of the best Resident Evil games ever made. And
ooh, bold statement.
It really
is. You're going to beat Resident Evil 4, really?
So I think it like...
Or 5, I guess, too.
I think that... So OG Resident Evil 2 is my favorite, like favorite Resident Evil game of all time.
I guess.
5 is my second favorite. And I like 4 a lot, but there's something about that second iteration when they do their, you know, like they had the classic trilogy and then they had like the over the shoulder trilogy and now they're doing the first person trilogy. And I don't know, man, like they nailed it. It is, there's some parts in that game that is the scariest stuff they've ever cranked out. And then there's stuff in there that's like so high octane action that it's like, it's awesome. It's just so fun to play. Like Resident Evil 7, I thought was like incredibly scary, very tense, like very unsettling. Like it was like, I don't know that I'm having fun. It's really good, but I don't know that I'm
like Silent Hill kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I really
take a shower after playing.
Yes.
Your wife comes in and finds you crying. You're like, I couldn't save her. I just couldn't save her.
Yeah. It's like, why do you do this to yourself? Because I love it. But yeah. And so, and this one right here is just so fun from the word go. And the pacing of the game is so smooth. And it really does ratchet things up to like, you can get overwhelmed really easily. And it's like, yeah, I'm doing all this crazy action stuff. But like it's Resident Evil because like I'm outnumbered, I'm out of bullets.
Oh man, yeah. And you're fighting like lycanthropes and like vampires and stuff, right?
Dude, yes and no.
Okay.
Like it does the typical Resident Evil thing where it like explains why they are the way they are because of the new mutations from the new virus thing. And man, it's just good. It's really good. I can't recommend it enough. I gotta play it again to like really. I got to marinate in it a little bit longer to figure out where I'm putting it on the list, but it's up there right now, top 5, possibly top 3 Resident Evils of all time.
All right, well, Daryl, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
On a scale of Mr. X to Nemesis, how much big titty vampire chick is there?
Yes.
And does she follow you constantly, or
and can you just let her catch you?
So I would love to sit here all night and make Dommy Mommy jokes about the lady, about Lady Dimitrescu. And here's the best part, man. Capcom was so smart. They knew that that shit was going to take off, and they leaned right into it. And the fan base made her out to be this larger than life thing. And guys, she's one of four bosses, and they're all equally weighted. And well, technically five bosses, but like the way the story folds out is she is part of a family.
Yeah.
And some of these family members, the marketing material has not shown you at all. Right.
Okay.
So in the trailer, you saw Heisenberg, her brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw her and her three daughters, which, by the way, her daughters were freaking amazing. The voice acting, and I hate that voice actress passed away before she got to see this come out, because dude, those parts with them were so good, and just her voice and just the tone, everything was so good. But you know, she in the areas that you have Lady Dimitrescu like chasing you, she's Mr. X chasing you. She doesn't stop. There's not really like a safe area. Now there are there's certain air like doors she can't get in because she's so tall.
She can't crouch.
Right.
She's too top heavy to crouch.
Right, and so
crouching is for peasants.
Yes. Ethan Winters. But dude, like, so when you're like, she's a huge part of the lore, but she's not a huge part of the game. And her boss fight is really dope. But
nice.
Before, I mean, and this is my thing, guys, if you, I would recommend you play the game as soon as possible for people to start spoiling things for you, because the next boss fight after her, I would say is the scariest section of that game. And probably one of the scariest sections of all Resident Evil of all time.
Well, God dang, Daryl.
Dude, it is wild. And the stuff they do in it is so effed up. And I'm just like, I can't believe Kojima didn't write this section of the game. It's that effed up.
Wow.
Nice.
And so so as far as, 9'6", dominatrix vampire lady, she was a good part. She was a smaller chunk of the game than I expected, but her presence is very well known in the lore, and she's very important. She Mr. X chases you until, she doesn't.
Well, but so, see, it's good that they didn't make her overstay her welcome, though.
Right.
So
right.
That's actually smart. That means they're learning.
Yes.
It sounds a lot like Metal Gear Solid, like with the bosses, all that.
Yeah.
Tom, are you playing this at all? Are you going to get in on the Resident Evil craze?
He's kind of sold it to me. Yeah. I might get on him now.
Because I know you're big on the Call of Duty and all that, right? Like the first person shooters?
Oh, yeah. I'm huge on them. I'm Division 2 right now.
There you go. So, well, this one is first person and it moves faster than 7 did. So, Resident Evil 7 was deliberately slow. The enemies were bullet sponges. It's not like that in this game. The enemies are like Resident Evil 4, Resident Evil 5. Like, you can blow their heads off in 3 shots. It makes you feel good to do so. The guns in it. There's one section in there in the game at the end of the late game where the action ratchets up to 11. And when you get to that point, you're like, oh, well, of course it does because of this character. But there's certain elements, and I'm going to say elements because I don't want to spoil what happens. There's certain elements of the game that are better than what you've seen in some Call of Duties.
Interesting. You know?
And yeah, like, that sounds pretty good.
And so, like, I'll give just one example, and it's not a big spoiler, but like, you have sections where this character flips down like night vision goggles, so you can see in the dark. And the night vision detail, the actual like filter that they use, is so beautiful. Like, it is vibrant and it is like straight out of a Call of Duty game, but like the next level, because this is next gen, you know. And me and my brother were playing and we're like, my, that is so much better than it has any right to be, you know. And I was like, man, I would play an entire game with this night vision filter on. It was so good.
Jeez, that's so, like siphon filter. Or,
yes.
Like way yes. back.
Yeah. Or even
silent scope.
What was with Sam Fisher? What's it called?
Splinter Cell.
Yeah. It was, the night vision was so good. And I'm going through that section, and my brother was a little ahead of me. And he was like, man, when you get to this part, this is what he says, they carved this section of the game out for you. Speaking about me specifically. And he wasn't wrong, because it spoke to all of my favorite things. And I was like, when I got to that section, I was like, you're not kidding. This is way better than it has any right to be. And I loved it. So play the game. It is good. The story is really good. Again, if you played 7, Ethan Winters, the main character, is a bit of a bland sack of potatoes. And I don't even love his wife. You know, she was kind of like, man, this game redeems those characters. The story it tells, 8, Resident Evil 8 Village, makes Resident Evil 7 a better game. Because
it, oh, that's great.
It takes the story and it builds directly on it. And then the post-credit scene was amazing. Like the actual, like what it did to the universe and how it progressed it forward. It was so good, man. It's so good. I really don't have a, and the, I'll say this too. I had a few like gripes as I was playing the game, but then when the game was completed and it answered my questions, my gripes were gone. And I was like, oh, well, like this is really good now. So my complaints were gone. It's a very solid game. I highly recommend it.
It answered that, it's inherently better than WandaVision in my opinion.
Yes.
Sorry, hot take. But
see, I don't have a PS5 yet. I'm probably going to wait until I can play that on the next gen.
Yeah.
My world's about to be consumed by the Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's my favorite series of all time. Like, I've already pre-ordered. I cannot wait.
Who's your go-to team for Mass Effect? Because I am a strict Garrus guy, and I love Garrus. Whoever else is there.
I love Garrus. Yeah, Garrus is always on the team. And I like me some Grunt.
Yeah, Grunt is fun. Grunt's pretty cool because he just goes after. Yeah, I'm a big Mass Effect guy. I'm a big Dragon Age guy. I just found my strategy guide for Dragon Age Origins. I was like, wow. I'm like, I can't even believe I must have gotten that for free with the game pre-order or something. But, you know, but it's like, yeah. Yeah, Mass Effect, I'm with you. I'm a third person guy, and I'm really hoping they bring back the battle mode, which is really cool.
Yeah. Because
that's a great reason to start playing games again, those two games.
I'm just looking forward to playing them on, you know, on a newer system with better graphics and just experiencing all the DLC, because I didn't get to play all of the DLC back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had really crappy internet, and like downloading stuff just didn't really happen in the 360 days for me.
I like spending 3 days mining planets for ore. You're like, man, this is the life. You know, and it's like I get on my kids for playing Minecraft. I'm like, you're not doing anything. What do you do? And I go and I'm looking for element zero on a planet. And it's like, I'm like, I'm a hypocrite. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm seriously psyched about Aliens Fireteam. I don't know if you guys are, if you did Colonial Marines or not.
Yes.
I played that, and man, I
bought the comic, and I intend to read it.
What's that?
There you go.
I bought the comic of Aliens number one, and I intend to read it. It's on a huge stack.
Which, what are you talking about? The new Marvel one? Or
yeah, yep.
Oh, yeah. I haven't started it either. I'm waiting for...
You're going to find three of the biggest comic fans on this show who have not read comics in a while. I'm positive of that.
Yes.
No, it's because there's so many variants now, and like some of these comics that are coming out are so popular.
I only bought
number one or number two. So I actually buy the comics first, and then I get the trade, you know, and I go that route.
That's actually not a bad idea, or just read it digitally. So if you're going to, I mean, we did this whole thing on the three Jokers, And honestly, getting that trade paperback that came out the same day as the last issue, like, I am way more satisfied with that trade. It even comes with, like, lithographs of, like, the other covers. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Now, that story in its collected form, it's aged well. Like, that story holds up better with each read.
That's so good.
It is good. I got to be honest, man. I'm a little disappointed because, like things like were, there was like comics were hot for a little while there for me. And then like after the Three Jokers and then after Death Metal, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I can't wait for the next thing. And then I'm just kind of waiting. Like I've been buying.
Yeah.
But
we're going through a bad phase right now. I think it's
well, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
You guys
comics,
are crazy.
Like the crazy thing about comics right now, is if you look at, like, I don't know how it's going to play out for this year, but if you look at 2020, the top 10 graphic novels of 2020 were all manga. They were all Japanese. The 7 of them were My Hero Academia.
Yeah, I saw somebody talking about that on YouTube.
The Japanese manga stuff is outselling anything Marvel and DC or any of the other companies can put out there, because I think you look at, I don't know how familiar you guys are with My Hero, if you watch the show or anything, but...
I'm pretty familiar with it.
He's like, I'm getting a boner as we speak. But now, like...
What do you mean, getting?
I was about to say that.
He's like, I keep a chubby for Deku. But like, when you look at how they do superheroes, they get it better than America does.
Yeah, it's like X-Men when X-Men was good.
Yeah, and All Might is better Superman than Superman has been in a long time. Like they understand comics better than we do now.
I don't think it's just the understanding part. I think we've been oversaturated. Marvel has gone way too many stories. Like they promote way too much. You know, Marvel, DC, you know, those guys, and I feel like they steal the spotlight from so many good indie stuff. And I'm a huge indie fan, and I'm
finding things. Too.
Yeah. And it's sad because there was this one that came out and it made it to issue 8 before COVID. And I was blown away by the artwork. It's very rare where I have something that is like, I consider art, like Picasso. I mean, the story was a mystery kind of story because it left off on something, but the artwork just drew me in and I had to have it. And I just looked at it and I'm seeing things now just for covers. I'm not even going to read. I just want them. Like one of them is it's called Stray Dogs.
Yeah.
They're doing these variant covers that are just so amazing.
Is that
and
the one with
I
the
feel like
on
that's
it?
Kind of like where we should be. We should be focusing on, you know, the stories.
Well, see, and you look at so many comics now too. You open it up, and it's just so much dialogue and so much monologue, so much writing. And then you open up a manga, and the art is all action. It's all moving. Mm-hmm. It's all so kinetic. And man, I know all of you remember exactly the feeling I'm about to talk about. Y'all remember when we
first
were
time you touched a booby?
It is akin
and
to
it feels
that.
Like a bag of sand.
Come on. Bag Andy. Of sand. Come on, man.
That's his grandma. Yeah. But like, remember how you felt the first time you saw like a poster in the comic shop for the first issue of Spawn?
Yes.
And you're like, oh my, what is that? I have to see it. That doesn't happen anymore.
No. And you used to get the free what was it? Comic shop news with like everything.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's where I would get my, like, oh my God. And then Wizard magazine, of course.
I was about to say Wizard would get me all hyped up. And like, you could see just from the artwork and that this is going to be something so good and so edgy and just awesome. Yeah. And there's so much bland. You open up a comic and it's all tans and there's no bright colors and there's nothing dynamic.
Yeah,
and then you go over and pick up an Image or a Dark Horse book, and the artwork just jumps off the page. Like 90% of what I read now is indie comics.
Yeah.
But you got me onto that Tokyo Ghost, which was a friggin' amazing book.
They're making a movie.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And Tom got me onto one before that called Luther Strode.
Luther Strode is great, yeah.
Holy crap. I think
that could make a great anime if they could do a
series.
If you look at some of the scenes and the way it's drawn, that it makes me think of a lot like Full Metal Alchemist. The way... I think Lust was her name. The way she moved, like Luther Strode, that's really close to that.
Yeah. I'm currently the only comic that I've bought in the past like month or two is the first two issues of, it's called Orphan and the Five Beasts.
Yep.
It's a James Stokoe, it's Dark Horse. And it's basically like this very, it's like Akira and Looney Tunes had a baby with the art style. It's like this really detailed cartoony manga style. It's just a wild art style, but it's basically like a fantasy rendition of an old kung fu movie called The Five Venoms.
Actually on Netflix now.
Yeah,
it's very Fist of the North Star-ish. It's just really cool and gory, and it's got like a Rick and Morty kind of cartoon feel to it too. I'm loving this book.
But so does he stick his finger into people's chests and leave holes and stuff?
I'm sure he will eventually.
Kenshiro!
There's one of the bosses that he fights that's named Thunder Thighs, and he's like these gigantic legs, and he just goes through horses because he'll get on a horse and just crush it with his legs.
Oh, wow.
It's so over the top and awesome.
Man, that sounds like God hates astronauts. If you guys have ever read that one, that is insane.
Which one?
God Hates Astronauts by Ryan Brown.
Yeah, yeah. Great book.
Yeah, I met him at C2E2 in 2020, and I was talking to him about this book. He's like, dude, I can't even describe it to you. You have to check it out. And I'm like, all right, I'll trust him. You know, he did some art for, you know, Quantum and Woody, and I love Quantum and Woody. So
yeah.
I picked up the book, and I did not regret it. It is insane.
And see, I think that's what so much of the comics that, you know, at least American comics is missing, is particularly from the bigger, you know, Marvel and DC, is that crazy factor of just something that's wild being in a comic. We don't have that. Everything's so grounded in reality. And I think everything is being published to prop up a movie or a Netflix show. And
that's the money makers for them.
Right.
I feel like death metal started that way.
We're like,
whoa, this dinosaur is a Batman? Whoa, what's going on here? And then it ended with a, eh. You know, it's like.
But, you know, like I'm seeing some comics. They're mostly like limited series. There was one I remember, it was set in the past, the present, and the future. The future was like a hellhole. The present was you didn't know what the present was, but what they did was a visual thing. They actually was purple, blue, and then yellow. And you didn't know what was going on. Like, I was trying to figure it out, and then you realize purple was the future, yellow was the past, and like blue was the present, but the present was sort of set in the past because they were time traveling.
Something crazy like
that really drew me in. But when it comes, you're talking about like American comics, I've started reading French comics or from overseas.
You mean like Asterix or Morbius?
Like heavy metal Humanoid stuff?
That's the publisher, Humanoids. And let me tell you, the artwork is fantastic, but the storyline is really good too. And it's not like... just everything we were just all the negatives we were talking about. They have a lot of good stuff. I mean, they're very.
Does it talk
right
about
now.
Le existentialism and menage à trois and fancy cheeses? What are they? I jest, but I mean, what's it about?
there's lots of
laughing and beaver skin hats and things, you know. I don't know, because it's like fur trappers in the Northeast. Like, what's it about? I'm losing my French tropes here, Tom. So. Everyone's wearing a beret and a black and white shirt.
All I can see is the Griswolds.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I are looking for sex.
That's a great reference, you know.
Then somebody walks in, wee wee.
You know, Rusty. But this, did you get a humble bundle on that or anything? Like, did you pick up like a whole bunch of them at a time, or are you reading them on a service? Like, how are you?
Well, that's the thing. I'm catching, like, part of the problem with these new issues coming out is that they're so low key and the advertising is so hard. I don't find out about a lot of them until like the week before or the week of, saying, people reviews. I go straight to the comic shop and they're like, well, you know, we didn't have a lot of demand for it. No one wanted, you know, so we didn't order it.
I love that. The power of the guy behind the counter. And there is not a store you walk into where they do not guilt you. You know, it's like, well, if you told me about it, sorry, I didn't read preview 6 months ago to say I wanted a Batman book. You should know me by now.
That's my comic book shop guy. He has a lot of indie press and he knows when I'm going to like something. And
oh, cool.
He puts it aside for me and they are so great. I went 2 weeks ago to pick up my pull pile and they had Something Is Killing the Children, the variant going super high right now. She was giving it to me and I was like, I didn't order this. Like,
take it, you here. Fool.
Like, no, we know you love variants. This is yours if you want it. Like, we put it in there purposely for you. So that's like really great having something like that.
That book is filling the hole where Saga left until that comes back.
Oh man, everybody's waiting for that one.
Yeah.
That is a great book, by the way.
If he doesn't come back, I will riot.
That's a weird one. I read the first volume of Saga and it was wild. I didn't know. I don't know that I'm smart enough to keep up with it.
Man, I love 7 to Eternity. That was a good indie series.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've been meaning to read that, too.
That was really good. And Extremity is really good.
I'm big on the Valiant stuff, so I just read the new Shadow Man. Holy crap. Woo! That is a cool book, man.
I saw that it was out. I hadn't had a chance to look at it yet, but I'm going to have to check it out.
I will, when we get off here, I'll actually send you something on it.
All right. So,
I have a contact over there. I did an interview with Valiant. I'm on their press list.
Oh,
so,
nice.
They give me a screener copy. So I'll kind of put that your guys' way.
Sweet.
Seriously, sometimes I hate you, Justin. I swear.
He knows everybody. He's met everybody. He does all the cool stuff before everybody else.
It's not so subtle flex.
Yeah, it feels like that sometimes, but it's so not, because it's like, I tell you guys, it's like, oh yeah, I had an interview with Burt Ward. I said 5 words. You know? I'm like, hey, how are you doing? Tell us about your dog food. You know, and it's like, I'm like, I was just so happy to be there.
Hey, well, since we're talking comics, I want to throw a couple of them at you guys. I think I was messaging Josh about them not too long ago, but like, because of the lull in stories right now and like even events, there's just nothing really grabbing me. I was like, I figured it'd be a nice time to get Marvel Unlimited and kind of go back through some old Wolverine stuff that I missed.
There you go.
Or stuff that I haven't read in a long time. And I stumbled across two arcs that I wanted to talk to you guys about. The first one would be a 3-arc run. It was X-Force Sex and Violence
with him and Domino.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a badass
so
run.
Good. That was so good.
That art is amazing.
That's what attracted me to it. I think I was like trying to create like a list of things to read. And it said, hey, you might like this. And I saw the Wolverine in the black and gray, you know, X-Force suit with the red eyes. I'm like, oh yeah, give it to me. I'll read that. And like, I was on my elliptical and when I'm down here on my elliptical, I tend to just kind of burn through comic books and it helps me forget about the fact that I'm fat and I'm trying to exercise.
We're all fat. So that's good. I just found out today I weigh the same amount as Homer Simpson. And I was like, damn it.
That's pretty cool, though. You can that one depends on how you look at it, you know. Like, I weigh as much as Homer.
No, I usually do. We were had to wear cat ones to see if she was gaining weight. So I was like putting her on the. My wife said, "Put her on the scale." So as soon as I went on the scale, I'm like, "Oh, together we weigh a combined weight of this." And my driver's license says I weigh this much. Wow, you gained 100 pounds.
That's awesome.
That's when you take your stomach off the towel rack and find out, right?
So, but yeah, with Wolverine, man, I was kind of jonesing for some good Wolverine stuff, and so I read the X-Force Sex and Violence. That was absolutely amazing. So then I jumped into the X-Force run that kind of springboards, and you know, the first issue or two was like it was okay. It wasn't as impactful as those three issues were. So then I was like, well, you know what, I'll take a break from this. And I haven't read Wolverine Goes to Hell in a long time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I jumped through that arc, you know, with Wolverine going to hell. And dude, I forgot how good that run was. That was an awesome arc, and I just finished it the other night, man. It was really good. I'm really digging it, man. Just kind of digging through some old Wolverine stuff. And I say old, it's not that old, but
that's the run with him where he meets Hela, like, right?
Easy go-to.
Say what now?
Wolverine's always like a really good go-to, like if you want to reread something.
Yeah.
He just, like, a lot of the stories, him and I always loved reading the Cable, original Cable series.
Yes, I've got.
Oh, dude, I have number one of that. If you want it, I can send that.
Oh, I've got them all.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Oh yeah. Cable was my favorite character for a long time. I did Cable and X-Man.
Yes.
And now I think I'm going to have to go back to X-Man because of this whole, I think it's the Messiah thing. I can't remember the title of the series set in the future.
Messiah Complex? X-Men.
What's that? Yeah, Messiah Complex.
Yeah, and there was after Second Coming was after that with Hope.
Yeah, because he's returned. And I was like so devastated at the end when this was back a while ago, when he died. Then I found out how he came back, and I'm like, this kind of isn't the same guy now. And now he's evil. I'm like, oh, why'd you do that?
You don't like the cocky little bastard kid walking around, right? With Nathan or Nate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not X-Man. It's Cable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of what they're doing there, but I mean, with like talking about like Wolverine stuff, my favorite go-to is the Jungle Adventure, if you guys ever read that.
I was about to bring that up, the Mike Mignola one.
It is basically Hellboy before Hellboy.
It is the best. I still pull that one out regularly.
And the fact that they have dinosaurs in it, and they call them honkers, it's written by Walt Simonson. You know, it's so good.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite books. I like the older, just little one-shots that I pull out.
Yeah, and
you can already see, like, even back then, you could see how good Mike was at understated Frank Frazetta inspired stuff. Oh, like, his artwork was already so dynamic.
Do you guys know what the gist of that story is? Why Wolverine jumped off in the Savage Land?
I know.
I remember the birding.
It's the craziest reason.
Well, there's like this android.
His lighter. He dropped his lighter out of a biplane.
Oh my God.
And they're worshiping it. They're worshiping it like an idol.
It's so funny.
It's like Land of the Lost thing.
It is.
You're
not wrong. It's exactly like Land of the Lost. And there's this giant Amazonian topless woman.
Yeah.
You have no idea how she maintains like it's like Austin Powers where she's always holding something up at the right time or something. It's like, this is insane. But it's just like it, like we're talking about like craziness and all that. That's one of those things where it's like someone had the idea and they ran with it with the two best possible people. It was so good.
That's awesome.
I just want to give a shout out. If you guys are ever looking for a good laugh, if in your stuff, you know, I'm a Star Wars fan, so I got to plug it. Tag and Bink. I don't know if any of you have already read that. That, I swear, answers questions, makes you laugh, and then brings in characters for like side things. It's just like they start from the beginning of the movies all the way up to like, I think they only covered like the first three. They didn't go into the, you know, the prequel stuff.
Oh, okay.
But they answer like what happened to Boba Fett. Like there was the scene where they were thrown into the pit after Boba Fett, and the only, or no, before Boba Fett, and they were stuck on a pike. So they kind of got jammed in the Sarlacc. So later on, they're like talking. It's like, how the hell are we going to get out of this? It's like, wait, do you hear something? Is it, what is going on? Do you hear explosions? All of a sudden, Boba Fett lands on them, and instead of being devoured, he's stuck with them, and he frees them, and they crawl out, and it's just, they're talking, and like,
this is a comic series?
If you guys ever tell anybody that this happened to me, I'm going to kill you. He's like, yes, yes, and Boba Fett doesn't scream like a girl.
Huh. Yeah, I've never heard of this.
You have, oh my God, Tag and Bink are dead, Tag and Bink are alive. And then there was a third one that also collects their previous stuff. I'm telling you, man, you're going to have a huge laugh. You're also going to, like, the whole Stormtrooper bit. Like, how do they fire and miss everything all the time? They're on the Death Star right before Ben, or Obi-Wan Kenobi, comes on. And they're trying to get out of it. And, like, they meet Grand Moff Tarkin. And he's just like, did you not see me? He's like, no, sir, we can't see jack shit out of these helmets. So he's like, he's like, well, did you see that? Actually, no, I didn't see you do that. It's like, oh,
oh my God.
I guess I should have the research take a look into this.
I've got to check that out. I just had the chance last week to read the Darth Vader series from 2015. Ooh, you guys good. Read that one? Like yeah. The beginning with, I can't even remember who it is. Cy Spurrier, I thought, or. Maybe not. I don't know. But I mean, with Dr. Afria, and this is an amazing series. I'm like, how did I sleep on this? Like, and Darth Vader's in it, but all he does is influence the world around him. He barely says a word, and just like all this stuff happens, and Vader is there, and you're like, this is an amazing book. I love it.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend that. I don't know how I slept on that for so long, but. That's just like an aspect of like Marvel Comics. It's like I never really got into. I'm like, well, I've seen the movies, but you know, I'm not gonna really read the books. Boy, was I wrong. That's some good shit.
Yeah, yeah, you have to really try that, and not just for comics too. But there's a lot of like either books or something that they, when they do that, it can be so great to go into that mythology or like just learning more about a character, or maybe you read it. And it was like that. And then all of a sudden you see it and you get to hear that voice. It's so exhilarating sometimes.
Yeah. You definitely hear the James Earl Jones when you're
like,
you know, and it's crazy. They introduce that character and she's just so interesting. She's like this twisted Indiana Jones relic hunter, like slash like Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And she's just saying lines like, hey, if you're going to kill me, just don't put me out into space. Hit me in the neck with your lightsaber.
Yeah.
You're like, what? Who talks like this? it was really cool.
Another good one for Star Wars, but it doesn't have to be Star Wars. It's just the way they did it was the Star Wars they did actually took all kinds of artists. Some of them were writing for Dark Horse Star Wars comics. They took Marvel people, and they were able to tell one-shot stories. And it ranged from anything to like comedic where it's a stormtrooper in a bar commiserating over the Death Star.
Oh, jeez.
You know, like, yeah, the last thing is like, well, you know what? The best part about this, the only good part about this was that Death Star only had one place to go, and that's down on those damn Jawas. And he's just like, dude, you do know the Rebel Alliance was able to stop all the wreckage, right? And it's just like, oh, shit, there goes my life. Where, like, can an android or can a droid be a Jedi? And the answer is yes, Skippy the Jedi droid.
Oh, wow.
And if you remember from the very first movie, the droid that malfunctions, he was a Jedi, and he saw that R2-D2 and C-3PO were meant to be discovered by Luke. So he uses the Force and short circuits himself. So that can happen.
Wow. That's a deep cut.
Yeah. And it just, I kind of like those anthology series like that, you know?
Wow.
It's good when they kind of, when you have such a big storybook that you can have those stories like Wolverine, you know, going, doing like those kind of things or whoever.
I just find Wolverine to be such a compelling character. I've loved him since I was a kid, and I'm just so interested whenever it's like, okay, what's he doing now? He's on a spy mission on a train with Carol Danvers, but really it's Rogue and it's Carol Danvers that's taken over. Oh, what's he doing now? He's with Kitty Pryde in Japan and they're fighting ninjas. Okay, sign me up. Now he's with Captain America. And it's 1944. Okay.
You know? Yes. Yeah. There's
he
like
has to be the saddest character.
He is. He's terribly tragic.
Yeah.
He cannot have nice things.
And you know what? Logan, I swear, I thought not Old Man Logan, it was Origin was like the saddest Wolverine story to be told. But no, when I saw it, Hugh Jackman portraying Logan in the future, I was depressed. I could not feel worse for a person.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was just saying I want to watch the noir version, black and white of that.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. Yeah, it's good. Speaking of noir, black and white, how many of y'all have watched Justice is Gray?
Yes, I've watched it twice.
Same. God,
what is this?
Yeah. The Snyder Cut in black and white.
Oh, I'm on it. I will be on it then. Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
As long as, you know, I'm just going to mute out the Icelandic singing. But
every time, I love the Snyder Cut so much. The only problem, the only complaint I have about that entire film is that everything Wonder Woman does is followed by
the Amazon track.
It's like the Lego game where Wonder Woman.
They play oh my gosh.
Everything she does. And like I watched it at a friend's house the second time I watched it. And like he's practically deaf, so he had like the subtitles on. And every time it did it, it would say Ancient Lamentations.
I can only hear that and hear the lamentations of their women.
To see your enemies driven before you.
Yes. That's fantastic. Yeah, no, I have to get on that. Definitely.
It's good, but, man.
It's really good.
Let me ask you guys this, because usually at this time of the show, I'll go through and I'll ask everybody what their week in geek was, right? So, like, what did you do this week that was particularly geeky? It could be that you watched something. I mean, we've been talking about all kinds of great geeky stuff, but kind of what do you have going on? Let's start with Daryl there. What was your week in geek?
All right, so this week I have managed to play some Punisher on PS2.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That's a great one.
Yes, it really is. And what's crazy is I'm friends with a developer from Volition, and we've gotten on various podcasts and talked about him building the rebar in Refaction Guerrilla. And, you know, and then certain things they did in Saints Row and the things that he's done in some of these games. I didn't realize that Volition developed the freaking Punisher game that Activision published.
Wow.
And I've never talked to him about it. So it's been killing me. I can't wait to get, you know, a free night where we can sit down and kind of talk Punisher. But so I finished up, like I said earlier, I finished up Resident Evil. I've been playing some Punisher and then reading, you know, I finished up reading Wolverine Goes to Hell 2 nights ago. And that's pretty much been my week, man. It's been a very diverse, fun week. I will say this. I picked up a PSP Go, the little sliding.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
The sliding one?
Yeah. Yes. So that's the only PSP, PS Vita, any handheld that a PlayStation handheld that I never owned. I've got like multiple versions of all the other ones. And it was one of those things where it was killing me because they were getting more and more expensive. I finally came across one and it was loaded with games. So I didn't even have to jailbreak it or anything crazy. It's in pristine condition. It was like basically brand new, not a scratch on it. And so what I've been doing is I've been playing the Killzone game. Killzone.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Love those. And,
yes. So I've been on my, some of my lunch breaks or, you know, we have various breaks throughout the day. I just go, sit in my truck and play a little Killzone. I'd sit in my office and play, but then people bother me the whole time. So I just go sit in my truck and, you know, a little 15, 20 minutes of Killzone, do a little slide at close. And then maybe tomorrow I'll get another, you know, 10, 15 minutes in. So it's neat. It's really tiny and it's very novel. It's just something that I wanted. It's not, you know, great by today's standards. Especially when I have my Vita in my bag as well, but I needed it. I needed to have it in my collection. I need to have it in my possession. And now I'm using it and it's great. So
he traded in his virtual boy to get it.
So how could you imagine seeing me in my friggin' truck with a virtual boy? And Nintendo Power Glove? Like, what is this fool doing in here?
Living his life.
I'm in the Matrix. Life.
Like, what, you never seen a virtual boy before? Yeah. They're like, no, they probably haven't. Yeah.
What was that line on Grandma's Boy? How much do clothes cost in the Matrix?
I loved you in Scooby-Doo.
I always said, I am a robot. I love robots. I have a robot vagina.
Great film. Classic cinema. How about you, Josh? What about your Weekend Geek?
I have had a less fulfilling Weekend Geek because I'm a teacher. So like we're winding down to state testing and all that. It's been a kind of a crazier, busier week. Probably the geekiest thing I've done this week. And I know that, Justin, you and Daryl, I've talked to about this. I'm working on a comic. So actually sitting down and drawing, pages for that is probably the geekiest thing I've done all week. I have been dipping in a little bit into playing back through the old Uncharted games and enjoying that a little bit at night before going to bed. But that's about the extent of my geekiness this week.
Those are fun. I could see that getting you exhausted to go to bed. You're like, oh, I just had to climb this damn tower and then the train came down. I'm exhausted.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, Josh, because we're running this event on the Loot Bros podcast called the Backlog Beatdown Call Your Shot. Yeah. And I'm on my fourth list, and one of the last games I've got to finish on my list is the PS4 version of Uncharted 3. And nice. So I've been dabbling with it, man. And
that's the one I'm playing. That's the one I'm playing too.
Such good games.
It's so good, man. It's such a good game.
Yeah, those are fun.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun. I loved it. I haven't gotten the last one because I think it's PS4, and I don't have a PS4 yet. I haven't gone the PS yet. I've been doing Xboxes.
Well, they gave them to everybody for free last year, right?
They did. Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't ask for like a better time killer game. I remember when I got my PS3, it came with Uncharted, and I was like, "Oh, what the heck is this? I didn't want this." And I'm like, "Oh, this is awesome."
Yeah,
the game is amazing, and I enjoyed 4 a lot too. Like, I've enjoyed every game in that franchise. Honestly, anything Naughty Dog does, I'm gonna be all over it.
Yeah, they're like, all right, here's the pitch meeting. It's Tomb Raider, but it's a guy. okay, all right. This will make millions.
Can I ask what you think of the movie coming? Who you think should play who?
I'm
Tom Holland, right? They have.
Yeah, Tom Holland is playing a young Nathan Drake, and I think that can work as long as they nail the dynamic between him and Sully.
Which they didn't.
Yeah. I have a really big hankering for Bruce Campbell to sort of play Sully.
I could see that. Yeah.
A little late.
He's got the burn notice thing. Yeah.
Kind of like Ash or something, but I think he could do it. I think he could.
Oh, really, yeah. That could be really good. I honestly don't think it's going to be a good movie.
Oh, no, it won't.
I'm hoping that it'll be bad enough that it's so bad it's good.
Yeah. Tom Holland already came out and sandbagged the film, though.
Yeah,
he said he didn't think he did a good job, and that they wanted him to be a more, I guess, I don't think he said darker, but he said stoic character.
That's not that character.
That's not Nathan Drake.
Why would you get Tom Holland and try to make him be stoic?
That doesn't make any sense.
And then Marky Mark is the freaking Sully. Which I like Mark Wahlberg.
I do too. Yeah.
That's that.
He's not a great actor, but I just eat up whatever he does. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Say hello to your mother for me. Yeah, it's like, I don't care. Oh, there's a Transformers, Optimus Prime over here. Yeah.
Yeah. Peacock. You got to let me fly on this.
It's feminine.
Exactly.
If I was a lion, I would go out of my way to go get you as a tuna.
Bye, Sheila. Bye, Sheila. Bye, Derek. Bye, Sheila. Yes.
Yeah, I probably will not watch the Uncharted movie.
Yeah.
At least not until it hits Netflix.
He has his other one. It was like Chaos Walking or something like that with Daisy Ridley.
That looked
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have heard terrible reviews. Now, that's not going to sway me from seeing a new movie. As soon as I get out there, I'm going to see Nobody. That one I really want to see. But I don't know.
Man, my next theater trip is probably going to be Dune.
Oh, yeah, Muad'Dib!
I am a huge Dune fan, and I was so upset that got pushed back, and I cannot wait to see it.
I am going to the theater. Me too. I'm over the moon about that. It looks perfection.
All right. Have you done Dune miniseries and the sequel Dune, Children of Dune from Sci-Fi Channel?
Yeah, I've watched those. Yeah. I watched the old David Lynch. I have all the books. I'm a Dune fanatic.
I absolutely love Children of Dune and Leto the Second. I think that was they couldn't have chosen a better person to play him.
Nah, it was good. It was a really good version of that story.
Well, I keep spice in my kitchen, so.
He controls the universe.
That's a joke that neither of my co-hosts would get. So they'd just be like, "What the hell is that?"
The spice controls the chicken.
I'm like, "The spice must flow," and they're like, "What is this? Something with Sting?" I'm like,
they're
"Yeah,
like, they're like missing with Sting. Gay crap."
Yeah, exactly. yeah. Matt would just go gay. But, you
know, that's or that the movie was so bad the director doesn't want to put his name on it, so he just did an Alan Smithy.
Oh, wow. I like that movie too. Like you got Patrick Stewart in it and
I remember seeing that movie when I saw it as a kid. It blew my mind, but that movie disturbed the heaven.
Like oh yeah, Mom, giant fish. There's a giant fish and some smoke. Dude, what is going on?
Baron was he was creepy and gross and weird. And then pulls out the dude's heart plug.
Yeah.
So weird. Oh, it's such a weird movie. And then Sting standing there in his little metal cod piece. Making you feel uncomfortable about yourself.
I'm a little embarrassed to say this, but I was more of a fan of Krull.
Oh, well,
dude, I love that.
Justin,
movie.
You were about to ask how my week went and what do we have to do with Krull.
All right, well, let's segue into that. I want to hear this.
I have been watching old school movies that I loved as a kid, and one of them was Krull.
Nice.
And I am so flipping out on it. Is better now because of the graphics.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm watching on a big screen TV. I saw that as a kid.
I haven't seen that since I was like, gosh, dude, middle school.
My dad took me to see that in the theater, and I remember the glaive. Yeah. I was a kid, and you know how the sound it makes is shh. So I used to call it the shasha as a kid.
It's like Dale Gribble, shasha.
Yeah, and you know those little sandcastle pre-made plastic things. One of them was a starfish, and I stole my neighbor's toy that, and I would pretend it was the glaive.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so great.
But I'm like going through all these old movies right now, and man.
Are you on Lady Hawk yet?
No, not Lady Hawk. The most recent one I did.
I know you, so there's going to be some Rutger Hauer in there somewhere.
Oh, Split Second.
Oh my gosh, yes. I love that movie.
Yeah. But the two that I've been watching over and over again, and I don't know why. Stakeland and Stakeland 2.
Oh, Stakeland was so cool. Yeah,
those were cool movies, especially the first one. I'm still
then Tom Savini.
Yeah,
I'm still picturing like a young, chubby little Tom just running around with a with a starfish.
Look, I'm Xena.
Okay,
Pocket
so
sand.
Justin, I might have something to show you soon. I found a guy who does a replica.
Oh, of the glaive.
Yeah, oh yes, and it is right, a perfect match. Sick. And I'm just waiting for him to start his production again. He has me on number one for when he starts doing it again.
Damn, man!
So that is going to be like my prized possession.
So you're speaking of Krull. So I don't remember the movie a ton, but I do remember about the same time I watched Guyver.
Oh my Lord!
Yeah,
dude. this is a rabbit hole that could take me a really long distance if you start getting into the
Guyver. Dude,
you just tapped my vein, bud.
Man, those were so good, dude.
Wait, are we talking anime?
The live action with
the live action
with Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, those movies. People? Yeah, there's two of them. And the second one was like a hard R, gory as crap.
So
those
good,
movies
man.
Were my gateway because Guyver, I loved those so much. And then I found a magazine that had Guyver on the cover that was all about the anime. So that was my anime gateway.
Oh.
So I'd have everything that's Guyver that you could possibly get, I have. Because I was obsessed.
Any animation cells?
What's that?
You ever get any animation cells for it?
No, but that would be dope.
It's a beautiful show. Two of the movies that actually got me into anime, I'm watching now again, Nausicaa of the Valley,
Valley of the Wind. Yep.
Yes. And what was the other one? Nausicaa.
Ursica Doshin, Legend of the Overfiend. Just kidding.
I'm having a brain fart on the other one.
I got to figure out where I can watch Guyver now. Cause like now I'm just sitting here thinking about how much I need this in my life tonight.
If you have HBO Max or Amazon, HBO Max has, they made deals with a bunch of studios and they're making more and more. So it's quite possible that they could
be on Vudu.
I know you can rent them on Vudu.
I bought Kroll on Vudu when it was like $4.99. So it's like, yeah, I bought Krull. I had to. So.
Yeah, it's worth. I bought it too. Yeah.
So
it's still.
What else are you getting into then? Because you got some other classic movies there. I'm assuming they're not all fantasy, but
I've also done some.
Have you seen Innocent Blood before?
Yes.
That's
the vampire woman, and that one was funny.
Robert Loggia.
Yeah.
Masters of the Universe. Ever seen that one?
Oh, God, that's been on AMC.
That's not a real question. Of course.
Man, I used to love, speaking of, like, vampires, I know we all loved Lost Boys.
Of course.
Yes, one of the best freaking movies ever.
Great soundtrack. Did y'all watch Near Dark?
Oh, my God, I was about to say that.
With Bill Paxton?
Yeah, dude. His performance in that movie. Like that, especially the bar scene where he just like eviscerates
the guy's throat and just chugs it down like a beer.
Oh man, that's one of the best scenes he ever filmed. Dude, Paxton was a boss for that movie.
I actually caught the movie as a kid on the scene you're talking about.
Wow.
So I was like 7 or 8, and you know, it caught it early in the morning right before school because you know they still showed that they had that time frame. And I remember seeing that,
HBO or something at the time, right?
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, I can tell you guys for my Weekend Geek, I've been going through, I'm trying to learn a couple songs on the bass. I haven't played guitar in like 15 years, I'm not as fluent as I used to be. So I'm like going through and I'm like, all right, I'm going to learn some Rage Against the Machine and, you know, and that's fine. And, you know, I'm a big fan of The Police, so I'm doing that and I'm trying to do Rush and that's just not working.
Good luck with Rush.
What is kicking my ass is the friggin' Jackson 5. And I'm like, I didn't realize Motown had such a bass group.
Dude, that's all. I'm like, it's so bass heavy, dude.
I was about to say Motown is all that's the MVP is bass in Motown.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not giving up. I'm keeping up on it, and you know, it's just kind of like a fun journey to go down. It's like, well, I have the bass, I should just do it. I never did anything with this, and you know, so now I'm just going through and picking out songs to learn, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, and I'm actually doing it in a fun and geeky way. I'm using Rocksmith, and if you guys have ever played that one.
Nice. Yes.
So that's kind of fun. And I had just downloaded like some Blue Oyster Cult songs. So I'm like, oh, this is cool. So, you know, I'm still giving PSN some money for that.
If you need some cowbell, let me know.
Yeah. So Tom and I actually play a lot of Rock Band together when I get together with them over in Connecticut. we get together and have like 6 hour long sessions for playing Rock Band with our friend Bob.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting when we get him to sing. So,
really? You're calling that interesting?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to classify it other than interesting. So, you know.
Well, let's go with this. Have you ever heard someone sing that you really hate with like all your passion because they're singing so badly? That's probably my voice.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fair. I was trying to actually think of someone that I don't like that. I'm like, I just wouldn't listen to them. So I'm like, what are you trying to imply? So,
well, remember I scared Julian? The dog ran downstairs?
Yeah, you scared the dog with your singing. Yeah. That was fun.
Somebody's got to do it.
I'm reading a cool book right now called it's called Born Again. And it's about these, I want to say they're kind of like mutants in this post-apocalyptic sort of future where everything is run by like this big company. And these characters actually, they die and then they come back to life, but they come back to life with powers. It's pretty interesting. I'm talking with the
title for that. I was wondering how it was.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably know, cause we go in some of the same circles with some of these, but yeah. So Tyler is a friend of mine who wrote the book and he was asking my opinion on it and I'm really digging it. It's got like some heavy X-Men vibes from the 90s. Like the characters, they remind me a lot of like Gen 13. I'm like, oh, nice. I really like, I dig that sort of storytelling and it's really descriptive. So that's pretty much what I'm doing for my week. Just like that kind of stuff. And you know, it's been a fun week.
Cool.
And obviously everybody's already watched Mortal Kombat and all that. I caught up on Mortal Kombat and all.
Easy, Magic Mike.
Yeah, yeah, Kano, you know, is the clear hero of that film.
Yes, he is.
I had read before I even saw it that the actor who played Kano was the one who carried the whole movie. And then I saw it and I'm like,
yep.
Yeah, he was really good.
What are you talking about? Cole is such an interesting character. I've always loved him. I played him in the first game. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't even. Like Stryker is a better character than your main character. I'm just saying.
Yes, yes.
Was anybody else watching and when they had their fight was going, A, B, no, left.
Yeah. Right trigger. I accidentally hit the turbo button and had to reset.
No, it's okay, Denver.
Dude, I got to say that Mortal Kombat movie was like, even though the acting in it was pretty trash on a lot of fronts, the movie was great. And then some of the scenes they ripped straight out of the games and environments they ripped out of the games were so good. And of course, Kano was awesome. But yeah, man, I was a little disturbed
by it because remember, the guy's daughter and wife, like they seem to, like, oh, hey, there's a guy with four arms in our yard. There's nothing weird about that other than dad's fighting him. Like, they just seem to accept everything that happened way too easily. Like, just, oh, yeah, it's possible to have another dimension.
Yeah, speaking of easily, they nerfed Goro.
Yeah.
The biggest character, and, like, he's fighting Johnny Cage in the first movie and all that, and then it's like, oh, okay, so just this random guy who couldn't win a fight, you know, but then he's got the chosen one status and all that. He's our Luke Skywalker, guys. Mm-hmm. Okay. But he's just going to destroy Goro utterly. I don't buy it. You know?
I feel like that movie
set up. I like the movie for the record.
So it set up a better second movie.
Yep.
Yeah, it's because we're going to be able to see some scorpions.
To do that. That's like when I was watching, like, we're halfway through and we're not even in the tournament. This is going to be a part one. Of like, mm-hmm. It's going to be like kind of like Dune or the Divergent and all those things where they set it up to be multiple movies for just one part.
Mm-hmm. Which is okay. I
like the fighting in the first movie better. The second movie is just like one of the worst things ever made. But
that
Scorpion and Johnny Cage fight in the first movie is probably one of my favorite fight scenes at all ever.
Yeah, it was a good one.
So I think the fight choreography is a little bit better than that, but I mean the Scorpion and Sub-Zero aspect of this film, really cool.
Yep.
I like this movie better than Kong.
Backstory.
So I was a little bit more critical of Kong. I liked I liked this Kong better than the King of the Monsters, but I think the humans get in the way a little bit too much, and they have like superfluous characters and all that. But I liked Mortal Kombat better than I liked Kong. You know, like a C plus, I guess.
I liked Kong. My only problem with that whole movie, and I enjoyed Godzilla vs. Kong. My only problem was when they got into the Hollow Earth. I'm like, why is there a whole sun in the middle of the Hollow Earth?
Yes.
why is there sunshine and clearly a big whole sun in the middle of the Earth?
I was just asking, I'm like, why is everything from Avatar here all of a sudden? And then it's like, why do they have the ships from Tron Legacy and everything is made of neon? And then I'm like, is that Skynet? I think that's Skynet. So
the only smart person in that entire movie is the chick on the helicopter who's like, dump the monkey.
We're like, hey, guys, the only person that can possibly lead this expedition is the guy whose brother died terribly doing this exposition. It's like, yeah. Oh, you're right. Makes total sense.
I just love that one chick is the only one that's smart. She's we should probably just sacrifice the monkey instead of dying.
Yeah.
Dump the monkey.
You got to turn your brain off on that one. But
oh, yeah.
The Tokyo fight was so good, man.
It was. Hong Kong.
Yeah.
It was
Hong Kong, wasn't it, where he yeah, blew
that's
a hole.
What I meant to say, yeah.
It was insane. I'm just
Daryl's
like,
over here, like, they all look the same.
Oh jeez.
I'm pretty sure that's racist.
But ironically enough, that would not be the first racist thing that happens on this podcast. However,
no, it would not.
I mean, you were talking about the town and not, in fact, a group of people. So,
there you go.
You know, you get a pass. So.
For now.
Yeah, yeah. until we start getting, horrible reviews. In that case, my name is Matt. That's good. But we're getting to be that time, so we've done everything. I'm going to ask everybody if you just tell where we can find you and all that. Daryl, why don't you go first? Because you probably have the most. Where can everybody find you on social media?
Oh, man. So you can check out my podcast, the Loot Bros Podcast, where you can hear me and Josh talk about comic books on the Loot Bros Comic Cast. You can check out Sounds Heavy Podcast if you like heavy music. It's a very diverse thing we got going on there. We're talking about heavy music, interviewing bands, we're reviewing music, all kinds of stuff. And then you can check out my band, Ninja Loot. We play heavy music, and it's a lot of fun. And we are working on an album. If you want to see some of Josh's good art skills, you can check out any of the art and logo stuff Josh did. So it's a fun time.
Heck yeah. Josh drew us a super shredder. That was badass. So,
oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
How about you, Josh? Where can people find you?
I mean, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on most of the podcast stuff that Daryl just mentioned. A lot of that stuff I do with him. I've got a podcast called The Fringes, which we mentioned earlier, a horror podcast. That's pretty much it.
Nice. Is that on iTunes?
Yeah, it's on.
All right,
I believe it is. I know it's on Spotify and Anchor. I think it's on iTunes. I know it's on Spotify.
Yep, it's everywhere. It's great too. Like, I'm not just saying that because we're friends. Like, you didn't tell me you were doing that show, and I was like feeling real guilty that like I've been so busy and my life's been so crazy that I haven't been able to do comic book stuff with you. And then you're like, "Hey, man, I'm doing this thing called The Fringe. Just check it out." And I listened to that first episode. And I was like, this is so much better than anything like out there. It's so good, man. Like, I mean that too. It's friggin' dope. You got to keep doing it, man. It's awesome. Highly recommend it.
Thank you.
How about you, Tom? Where do you want people to find you on social media if they want to talk to you about Star Wars?
Place.
Where is
Facebook? William Thomas Boyles.
All right. We'll have them look you up. For us, you can check us out at Geek Life HQ on Twitter, on Instagram. You can check Matt out on the Duo Finds. You can check Justin on the Justin Finds, Justin Reinvented. As for me, you can find me on Facebook. You can find my other side projects, the Fantastic Podcast and Epic Tales from the Sewers, a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles podcast. And coming soon, one thing that we're talking about, the Amalgamania Podcast and Entertainment Awards, where we're taking submissions until July 4th for any sort of podcast, YouTube, or Twitch stream. So if anybody knows anyone who's interested, you can submit at amalga-mania.com. And you can actually submit your show. And we're going to do a full award show with trophies and all that. And we are currently working on getting some special presenters for our show that we're going to do in August. So that's fun. So that sounds like something that the Fringes might have to get in on.
Hey, yeah, give it a shot.
And you mentioned your brother's Twitch stream, Daryl. So we are doing Twitch streams as well.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I'll tell him. Yeah, he was doing Mixer for a while, and he was getting pretty popular on Mixer, and then Microsoft shut it down. So then he jumped into Twitch, and he's, you know, Twitch is a very crowded space. So he's finally gotten affiliated. Now he's
working
his partnership. So it's Games and Gains Media. He likes to work out and play video games. And his moniker is Gag'em.
Okay. That's great. So yeah, we'll have to look out for that. I know pretty much nothing about Twitch. You know, I was on it once and I felt uncomfortable. And I'm like, my dude, kids are all like, check out this YouTuber. They're doing Minecraft stuff. And I was like,
Dude, can I tell you a real quick story before we get
out of here? Of course. Yeah. Okay.
So my kids are like watching YouTubers and they're like, oh, we want to do YouTube. So I was like, I have all the stuff. I was like, yeah, sure. We'll stream us doing some Minecraft. So we're streaming Minecraft. Right. And we get like, I don't know, 20 or so people in the room watching us, you know, and I didn't, you know, I'm very, very like careful what my kids are allowed to watch, what they're allowed to be exposed to, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, the only way you're doing, you know, Twitch streaming and things like that is if I do it with you and then we'll rip it to YouTube. Some freaking weirdo starts commenting on how they wanted like to be like the father of my children and kind of like making really like progressively disgusting remarks about my kids. So I was like, well, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. Turn comments off.
Oh man, like, that's just awkward. I don't know how to like deal with it. That's one of the reasons I don't like to play Call of Duty. Yeah, you know, I'm like 12-year-old just called me a fag. I'm like, yeah. I don't know what to do about this.
You didn't bang my mom. That's all.
Yeah,
possible.
I'm like, what is? I can't deal with this right now. That's a true story, actually. I was like, I'm gonna go crawl into a hole.
Yeah. I'm questioning everything I know about myself.
Maybe I am.
Oh,
maybe.
Man. I'm like, I'm gonna go play Dr. Mario and feel bad about myself. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining me again. And until next time, we are Geek Life HQ.
Everyone thinks because you're a zombie, you don't know good coffee. Well, they're wrong. We have very active lifestyles. It's not all wandering the countryside aimlessly or scaring passing motorists. And we all love a good cup of joe. And there's only one brew that gets my seal of approval. Deadly Grounds coffee is my guilty pleasure. Bold, robust, delicious. It's coffee that can wake the dead. With over a dozen different roasts and flavors, Deadly Grounds can satisfy the most finicky of coffee addicts. The aroma is so intoxicating. It brings all of my neighbors out of the woodwork. Deadly Grounds coffee. Coffee to die for and zombie approved. It's good to get a little deadly.
Use the front door!
Oh, they're so disgusting.